Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as we come to the season of Epiphany, this is a time where God the Father is making it clear to us that in fact, Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem, is his very son, the promised Savior. This is also a time of the year when Jesus has grown up very, very quickly when we think about the church year. Here's what I mean. During Advent, we prepared to celebrate his birth, and we also made sure that we knew Jesus Christ, thus making sure that we are ready for whenever he comes again. During Christmas, we celebrated his birth. We also remembered his circumcision and the blood that he shed in that circumcision, that holy blood, which pointed ahead to the blood he would shed on the cross. We also, during Christmas, thought about some of his amazing names. Now, in the season of Epiphany, Jesus has grown from about 3 months old, that's how old he was when the wise men came to visit him, up to today when we think about his baptism, and now he is 30 years old, and now he's beginning his ministry. Think about his ministry. That is Jesus, in a sense, stepping forward to say, I'm willing to go through with the purpose for which I came. I am willing to take upon myself the sins of the entire world, to pay that penalty, and to open heaven for all people. When you think about Epiphany and then the season coming up, which is Lent, think about them in this way. During Epiphany, we focus on who Jesus is. During Lent, we focus on what Jesus did. We find ourselves today in Matthew chapter 3, picking up in verse 13, as we focus on Jesus' baptism. And in this first section, I say that Jesus did not shrink back. To understand this a little bit better before we get into the text, earlier in Matthew chapter 3, John had been talking to the multitudes of people who had gathered where he was there at the Jordan River, and he had been talking to them about the greatness and about the work of Jesus. And then, in today's text, it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. When Jesus did that, we could say that he was stepping up to the starting line. So he had already come from heaven as the Son of God. He had become the God-man. He had put on human flesh. And then he went through all that I shared with you already. And let's understand that all of those things were leading to the beginning of his ministry, even to his entire ministry, which would include his suffering and death for our sins. Another important factor here is that Jesus did not let all the negatives deter him. For us, we guess about what's coming in the future, but for Jesus, he knew for certain, and yet he still kept pressing forward. Think about this. Jesus knew that many would ultimately reject what he taught. Jesus knew that he would be abandoned by his closest followers. Jesus knew that he would be arrested, falsely put on trial, beaten to within an inch of his life, and crucified. Jesus knew that he would receive all sins upon himself and the punishment for all of those sins. Jesus knew that he would lay down his holy life. With all of that, nevertheless, he still stepped forward to save us. Let us be so amazed at how much God loves us. Let us be so amazed at what Jesus was willing to do and in fact did to take away the sin of the world. In the second part today, we see that Jesus came in order to redeem all sinners. Picking up in Matthew chapter 3, going to verse 14, it starts with the word but. So let's go back to verse 13 for a moment. Again, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him, but John prevented him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answered him, 'Let it be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented." In this section, let's think about how completely inadequate John must have felt. If we go back earlier in Matthew chapter 3, John said these words about Jesus. He said, "He who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry." Think about that. Sandals, back in Jesus' day, they were probably crudely made. They were dirty from all of the dirt roads they would walk on, probably soaked with sweat and disgusting in many ways. And yet, John was saying that he wasn't even worthy to be able to pick up Jesus' sandals and carry them. If he was not worthy to do that, certainly he was not worthy to baptize him. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "It is fitting. It is fitting, John, that you do baptize me." Think about other people. Prior to them being baptized by John, they were moved by the Spirit to repent. They confessed their sins, and John baptized them for the forgiveness of their sins. Of course, we know that Jesus has no sin. So when he said, "It is fitting," that is pointing to a completely different purpose for Jesus' baptism. And then Jesus said, "John, do it to fulfill all righteousness." Let's remember that Jesus' coming was voluntary. He was willing to come. He was willing to do all that he did in order to save us. Let's also think about his baptism in this way. Jesus' baptism united him to all who are baptized. If we think about our baptism, God is taking action to wash us clean, to wash the filth of sin off of us. When Jesus was baptized, he had no sin. So in a sense, all the sins connected to baptism were washed upon our Lord Jesus Christ. And then when he was on the cross, he took the punishment for all that sin and laid down his life. And then the Bible tells us that John consented. So, very simply, he went forward with the baptism. We don't have the details, but we don't need to know the details. We know that with baptism, the essentials are water and the Word of God. God works through those means, not for Jesus in this case, but for everyone else. He works through those means in order to forgive sins and also to give the gift of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to know that we desperately need forgiveness, so he gave it to us in baptism. We also need the Holy Spirit in order to be able to go forward as the followers of Jesus Christ. So having received those blessings by God's grace, may he enable us to continue to be clothed in Jesus Christ. May he enable us to continue to be saved by Jesus Christ. And may he enable us to continue to live for Jesus Christ. In the third part today, we need this confirmation that Jesus really is the promised Savior. In this third part, we receive that confirmation from the Holy Spirit and also from God the Father. The Bible says, picking up in verse 16, "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, and then stepping out of the river, the Bible tells us that he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to last week for a moment, thinking about Jesus' titles. So from an Old Testament Hebrew perspective, we call him Messiah. From a New Testament Greek perspective, we call him Christ. And yet both Messiah and Christ, what do they mean? They mean the Anointed One. And what happened with Jesus? Right after his baptism, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit in order to be our Savior, in order that he would then do for us what we could never do for ourselves. Let us also remember that when we were baptized, we received the Holy Spirit. Think about that reality. We have the third person of the Holy Trinity living within us. Knowing that reality, may God help us to be bold and to be faithful in following our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, we see the Father speaking from heaven to confirm that, in fact, Jesus is the promised Savior. He is his Son. What an awesome scene that was. This is one of those rare cases in the Bible where we have all three persons of the Holy Trinity present at the same time. So we had Jesus standing on the bank of the Jordan, the Holy Spirit coming down upon him in the form of a dove, and then God the Father speaking from heaven. God wants us to know that Jesus is definitely the promised one. As we go through Epiphany, we're going to find that more and more to be true. And that way, when he is finally on the cross, and he finally says, "It is finished," he finally says, "It has been paid in full," then we can be certain that truly he has successfully made the way to heaven for all who repent and believe. We can't do such things of ourselves, but God enables such things. Let us realize what he has done. Let us be thankful for what he has done. And let us live with thanksgiving. Please join me in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, since you have promised us the gift of heaven through Jesus, may you fill us with gratitude, fill us to the point of overflowing, and make our lives one long thank you note to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.